You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Youth Coordinator of the Auckland Women's Centre, Gabrielle Rain, spoke to me about the Our Body, Our Choice rally, which is happening tonight. And we spoke about reproductive rights, intersectional feminism, and the kaupapa of trans inclusivity. And we also speak about the recommendations made by the Select Committee. I was also really surprised that limitations still exist in regards to access to emergency contraception. And so we also talk about that and have broader conversations around reproductive rights and sexual violence. I begin by asking Gabrielle to tell me what's happening with the rally tonight.
I work for the Auckland Women's Centre as their youth coordinator. And so last year, one of our focuses was on encouraging young people to campaign around an intersectional feminist issue. And with the whole abortion law reform bill passing through Parliament, the rangatahi that we were working with really wanted to campaign around reproductive justice. So last year we did a series of actions, and it's all kind of led up to this National Day of Action, which has been coordinated by ALRANS, so the Abortion Law Reform Association of New Zealand, basically show to Parliament that these changes are necessary, that New Zealanders do want to see more accessible, safer and more respectful abortion healthcare in Aotearoa, and we want our laws to reflect that. So in terms of this actual rally, it's being hosted at, we're starting at Albert Park, and then we're moving away down to Aotea Centre, starting at 5:30. And from there, we'll be listening to a whole bunch of speakers, kōrero, musical performances, and some spoken word pieces. And it's all rangatahi-led as well, so we've really worked hard to ensure that we've got youth voices being spoken, as well as a diverse range of voices in general, to really sort of put forward that intersectional feminist kaupapa.
Because what's the current situation in terms of abortion law and reproductive rights?
So abortion in Aotearoa is technically a crime under the 1961 Crimes Act. Later in the 1970s, an amendment act was passed to provide some lawful grounds for when a person could seek an abortion, these being severe danger to the pregnant person's physical or mental health, the likelihood of the child being born with a severe disability. And so most abortions in Aotearoa occur on the grounds of impact to mental health. And whilst this may be true for some pregnant people's cases, a lot of pregnant people actually have to lie to their doctor in order to seek an abortion. And the other sort of issue with the current system is that you cannot self-refer to an abortion clinic. So instead you must book an appointment with either your GP, student health services, or a family planning clinic. And a GP may object to offering a referral on the basis of their conscience, which can make the whole sort of process of accessing an abortion even more complicated, often timely and expensive. And so once you're referred to an abortion clinic, the law requires that two certifying consultants must approve the abortion on at least one of the grounds discussed above. Because of all of the steps and legal loopholes involved, accessing an abortion in Aotearoa can be a timely and expensive and therefore an inaccessible process. So a 2009 study found that New Zealanders waited on average 25 days between their first contact with a medical professional and the actual abortion procedure itself. So whilst I guess some New Zealanders might be able to sort of navigate this system relatively easy, from an intersectional perspective, this whole system is particularly inaccessible to people living in rural communities, people who are of a lower socioeconomic status, and because we live in a colonial context, ethnic minorities as well.
And so what changes are the Abortion Law Reform Bill asking for?
So basically they're wanting to, first of all, take abortion out of the Crimes Act and legally treat it as a medical issue under the Ministry of Health, which is fantastic. They're also wanting to remove any statutory test on the health practitioner for a pregnant person who is not more than 20 weeks pregnant. They also want to ensure that a person can self-refer to an abortion service provider, enable a regulation-making power to set up safe areas around specific abortion facilities, but this will be done on like a case-by-case basis. And with that last one, basically, the aim is to protect people seeking an abortion from protesters and a lot of the antagonism and triggering comments that those protesters...
The current bill that's hoping to be passed through has set it at 20 weeks before. And so is this an appropriate time frame for the people seeking an abortion?
We agree that the 20-week threshold still restricts the autonomy of women and pregnant peoples. And unfortunately, because a lot of, you know, this whole sort of fear-mongering Donald Trump rhetoric that is prominent around the whole sort of debate concerning abortion, a lot of, I guess, the situations that late-term pregnancies occur and are misunderstood. And so most of the time, a person seeking a termination after 20 weeks is actually a wanted pregnancy undermined by some crisis. And so in this situation, such people need support, not further judgment and hurdles and the potential for antagonism within the system.
I was just having a quick read through on Stuff, and there was an article that came out from Annie O'Brien, who was, from Speak Up for Women, which was incredibly critical of the rally. Yeah, I was wondering if you could respond to that, especially for, you know, some of our listeners who might have read that article or are confused as to some of the criticisms that have come about with the language around the rally and what the rally stands for.
Well, I haven't read this particular article, but I can imagine what it says coming from Speak Up for Women. Our kaupapa is completely trans-inclusive and gender-diverse-inclusive. And so, you know, we recognise that these law reforms impact everyone, not just women, but also our takatāpui or, you know, gender-diverse whānau. And that's where we're at. You know, we're not going to change our kaupapa. You know, it's really important that, especially coming from this whole sort of intersectional feminist perspective, that we are inclusive and that when we're dealing with feminist issues such as abortion law reform, that we're critical of the patriarchy, that we're critical of, you know, the gender binary, that we're critical of all of these, you know, colonial constructs, which have actually tainted the feminist movement for so long. And so we completely reject all of that transphobia. And
I also wanted to ask about, in terms of, I think one of the changes as well was currently only doctors are able to perform the procedure. So I think with the changes, health professionals are also able to perform?
Yeah, I mean, this comes down to the whole sort of concept of reproductive justice being more than just concerning law reform, but the accessibility of reproductive health care in general. And so from our sort of perspective, you know, if more medical professionals can be trained to perform safe abortions, then it's brilliant because it means that there'll be more people out there who are capable of performing abortions and therefore it's more accessible to pregnant people.
What's the political place that this bill is in? So it passed last August, and so currently what's going to happen next with the bill?
So last week the Select Committee report came out with a series of recommendations, some good, some bad. And so in the next few weeks, we're hoping that the second reading of the bill will occur. And so like the timing of these protests have basically been planned to line up with that in order to, you know, really sort of impose that political pressure on Parliament. And so that second reading will take into consideration the committee's report.
What are some of those recommendations, if you can kind of briefly touch on them?
Yeah, so I mean, like, in terms of the good parts, they've recommended that a positive duty be placed on the Minister of Health to ensure that reproductive health services and counselling related to reproductive health care are available throughout New Zealand. It extends beyond law reform in the sense that, oh, you know, we're going to just, you know, take this, we're going to take abortion out of the Crimes Act, but actually looking at how accessibility operates in a more sort of tangible sense. We think that's great. Another section, I believe, also improves the test for prohibited behaviour unsafe areas. So this is sort of relating to, I guess, the block that they're intending to place around sort of abortion clinics on anti-choice protesters. So the initial test used to be that they would have to prove that the offender intended to cause distress. And so now it's enough to show either that the offender obstructed the person with the intention of frustrating the purpose for which they were at the medical clinic, or in a manner that an ordinary, reasonable person would know would cause emotional distress to a protected person. So basically it just means that the test is a lot sort of clearer to impose.
What were some of the recommendations that aren't too chuffed about?
Okay. So they recommended that more restrictions be placed around abortion after the 20 weeks gestation period. And so instead of people after the 20 weeks limit simply being able to talk to one sort of, I guess you would call like a certifying consultant, they're recommending that now two people be brought in. So the health practitioner now must consult another practitioner, which again makes the whole system a lot more complicated. There's a lot more sort of room for antagonism, and makes it a lengthier, potentially more difficult procedure for a pregnant person to go through. So they're wanting to amend also the Contraception, Sterilisation and Abortion Act to specifically allow conscientious obstruction involving contraception in cases of sexual assault, which is absolutely shocking. So basically the government puts sexual violence survivors on notice that their health and well-being secondary to the right of health practitioners to refuse them emergency contraception. And so especially like in terms of emergency contraception, because even though there is like a 72-hour time frame in which you can take it in order to prevent a pregnancy, it's recommended that it's most effective in the first 12 hours. And so let's say you're in the position of someone who has been sexually assaulted and you're needing to seek emergency contraception, and the first sort of, you know, GP or medical professional that you talk to refuses. Well, that sort of, you know, well, for starters, you know, being in that position anyway is incredibly disempowering. But then to have those sort of further hurdles be put in place is not just stressful in the sense that, you know, you've got this limited time frame in order to access emergency contraception, but it's further disempowering considering the overall sort of circumstance of being a survivor of sexual assault.
Yeah, I had no idea that health professionals or doctors were able to refuse someone emergency contraception. Is that something under the current law that they're able to do that?
Yeah, and so what this recommendation is doing is that it specifies it to situations of sexual assault, which, I mean, from a feminist perspective, it's just ridiculous.
Mm. Wow. So yeah, with the recommendations, they're saying that even in the situations of sexual assault, health professionals are still able to refuse emergency contraception.
Yeah.
Oh, my
exactly.
God.
Exactly. So in the past, I mean, that technically was the case.
Yeah.
But
it's still the status quo.
It's still...
That's
we couldn't believe it, honestly.
I had no idea that law actually still existed. In general, like for any person seeking emergency contraception, I thought I didn't even realize there were restrictions. Which is really
I mean, this is why the law needs to change, and this is why this whole sort of, you know, issue of reproductive justice extends beyond, you know, the law of reforms that we're currently dealing with, but all of these other sort of issues of reproductive healthcare access, such as access to contraception, such as sexual violence, such as, you know, the general sort of socioeconomic barriers that prevents people from being in a position to enter in motherhood or to carry through with a pregnancy.
That was Youth Coordinator of the Auckland's Women's Centre, Gabriella Brain. The Our Bodies, Our Choice rally is today, starting at Albert Park at 5:30 for anyone who'd like to go and support. You can also find out more information on their Facebook page, and the rally states that they stand with our trans and gender diverse whānau, and whānau being forced removal of tamariki by the state.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.